Welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, July the 12th. This is Rod, and your other readers are Jenny, Joe, and Cherry. The editor this week is John. All are members of Team 2. This week's sponsor is Knox Cropper, LLP. They provide expertise across the full range of accountancy services, including taxation, VAT, audit and assurance, and governance and compliance. Based in Apsley, telephone 218 309. Website www.knoxcropper.com. Many of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Burke Hempstead, Trinkazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines: Bovingdon in the frame for solar farm to power 8,600 homes. Nine bailed as police step up Kings Langley murder probe. Retailer Lidl targets posh Burko for new store. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Jenny. Solar power plan. More than 130 acres of fields near Bovingdon could be filled with enough solar panels to power over 8,600 homes, according to planning proposals submitted to Decorum authorities. BSR Energy filed the proposals in June for farmland at Pud's Cross. Local residents have until next Wednesday, July the 16th, to provide their views. Alongside the panels, a battery energy storage system, BESS, would also be built at the site. BESS sets up store energy that can be released when power is needed most. Planning permission would last for 40 years, after which point the project would apparently be decommissioned and the site restored. The proposed development will support the transition to clean, renewable energy and contribute towards achieving a carbon-neutral society by 2050, mitigating the effects of climate change, the application documents prepared by environmental consultants NZGO said. Taken together, the identified numerous benefits are considered to clearly outweigh the limited harm to the Greenbelt that would arise from the proposal. It says the scheme would create 39,936 megawatt hours of energy annually, able to serve 8,604 households each year and avoid 7,620 tonnes of CO2 emissions. 10 members of the public have objected to the scheme so far, highlighting Greenbelt concerns, loss of agricultural land, as well as the potential impact on biodiversity and wildlife. One described it as the next step in a slow but steady erosion of what the countryside is meant to be. An ecological impact assessment, published on behalf of the applicant on Tuesday, acknowledged that works would result in the loss of foraging and nesting habitat, but said it would be implemented based on timings to minimise disturbance to nesting birds. Site landscaping will also be used to create new habitats to compensate for those that are lost. The developer previously said the scheme would give the landowner a guaranteed stable income over the next decades to support other agricultural activities. According to the proposals, the site would generate £95,000 in business rates for Decorum Borough Council, as well as a £116,400 fund which could support a community space nearby. Responses can be submitted via the Council's planning portal with the reference 25/01535/M/F/A.
Hello, this is Joe. Nine bailed in murder probe. Nine people are on bail over what police called an execution-style killing in Kings Langley, following further arrests. An investigation launched after Mustafa Jatta, 30, who was shot dead in Railway Terrace overnight on September the 17th last year, led to six men being arrested on suspicion of murder. News of those arrests last week followed officers arresting five other people last October and two others in November. Of the 13, Hearts Police this week said nine remained on bail. This includes all six of the latest suspects, five from Watford, aged 20, 20, 19, 18 and 22, and a 36-year-old from London. Crime Stoppers have announced a £20,000 reward for information leading to the conviction of anyone involved in the killing. The independent charity can be contacted at crimestoppers-uk.org or by calling 0800 555 111. Detectives said last month that they were facing a wall of silence in their investigation. A white Volkswagen Golf was used during the shooting and has been reported as being set on fire in Furtherfield, Abbots Langley, around 15 minutes after the attack. Of those arrested in October, a man in his 30s and a woman in her 20s were arrested on suspicion of murder, and they have been no further actioned and are no longer on bail. A teenage boy who was arrested on suspicion of murder remains on bail until October, police said. A man in his 20s who was initially arrested on suspicion of murder is no longer being investigated for the charge, but was rearrested on suspicion of conspiracy to commit the murder and remains on bail for that until September. A man in his 30s who was arrested on suspicion of conspiracy to commit murder remains on bail until September. Both suspects arrested on suspicion of murder in November, a man in his 50s and a woman in her 30s, have had no further action taken, are no longer on bail, police said. In a tribute to Jatta, his father said, "Mustafa was a father, son, loved one and a friend to many. He was very family orientated and would always look after his loved ones. He continues to be sorely missed."
Hello, I'm Cherry. Little Eyes Birko Store. Little has submitted plans to build a new supermarket in Berkhamsted off the town's high street. According to the retailer's projections, the new super shop would create 40 jobs locally. Little said the application was submitted after an extensive public consultation, which received 2,200 responses, with it said 80% offering positive feedback. Included in the plans are a bakery, customer toilets with baby changing facilities, and features associated with the growing supermarket brand. Little says the design of the new building would reflect the character of Berkhamsted. The supermarket is also proposing the construction of a new pedestrian footpath off Billet Lane Green, planting and the installation of solar panels. Among some of the reasons residents gave for backing Little's plans was a need for more affordable shopping sites in the town, and that it would reduce the need to travel to Hemel Hempstead for shopping. Kate Blelock, regional head of property at Little GB, said, "Thank you to everyone who took part in our consultation to make our plans meet the needs of the community in Berkhamsted. Your feedback is incredibly valuable, and our teams have now incorporated these changes to submit plans for a little store that's right for the area. Now that our plans have been submitted, we're encouraging everyone to make their voices heard. Residents can now submit their views to Decorum Borough Council to help secure this store. Residents can view the application on Decorum Borough Council website by searching under the reference number 25/01567/MFA on the authority's planning portal. At the time of a previous application by the same retailer in 2014, some Berkhamsted residents described the town as too posh for a budget supermarket like Lidl, according to a report in the Gazette.
One-stop healthcare plan. Proposals are under discussion for a possible new multi-purpose facility in central Hemel Hempstead to meet the changing healthcare needs of people across Decorum. Plans have been launched by the local NHS and Decorum Borough Council with a view to bringing hospital, GP, mental health, social care, well-being and community services together under one roof and subject to consultation with local residents. We are exploring what the best way of doing this and will be reviewing a series of options in a strategic case we are developing with partners, said a council spokesperson. One of these is the relocation of existing services to a purpose-built facility stroke health campus in Market Square, Hemel Hempstead. This new facility will bring many services together in one place. This will make it much easier to get the care and support you need. The proposals will look at the changing health needs of people in Decorum, changes to local health and care services, what to expect of a new model of care, a timeline, and how people can get involved. They acknowledge that some people in Decorum feel let down by the way services have been managed and organised over many years. The council spokesman added, "This is an opportunity to improve and strengthen the way we deliver the healthcare our communities receive both now and over the coming decades. Central to that will be bringing services together in a more joined up and integrated service. In the proposed new facility, you'll be able to access specialist advice, get tests or treatment, and access support from different services all in one location. Over the summer, the health service and council will be seeking feedback on the plans from locals. This will then be considered against other alternatives in the strategic outline case," said spokesman. The proposal suggests a campus will help shift the focus from treating people only when they reach a health crisis to supporting their health earlier. Rather than relying on hospital visits, more care will happen locally in the community with teams working together to support patients before health problems get worse. And it's hoped a new health campus would also help revitalise the town centre by bringing more people, professionals and activity into the area, making it a more attractive for business and investors. A survey giving people an opportunity to have their say on the plans is open until August 21. Hard copies are available in all Decorum libraries and at the Forum in Hemel Hempstead. Results from the survey will be fed in the end of 2025 and an online business case for the new facilities set up in 2026.
Council health team cut. Staffing in Hertfordshire County Council's public health team has been reduced by more than 20%, cutting annual budget costs by more than £1 million. Last year, 2024/25, there were the equivalent of 114 whole-time roles within the county's public health team, with an annual salary budget of £7.3 million. According to data presented to the Public Health and Community Safety Cabinet panel on Tuesday, that has now been reduced to 88.3 whole-time equivalent roles. The reduction, which cuts salary costs by almost £1.2 million, follows a strategic review held by the Director of Public Health, Sarah Perman. Perman told councillors that in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, the number of roles in the team had increased, with the headcount more than doubling, because of the additional activity that we took on as a team to work with partners to protect the local population during the pandemic. She said her team had determined they could now remove the equivalent of 26 posts without impacting programs or services. That was through a combination of removing some historic posts that had been vacant, redeploying some staff, and making a small number redundant. In response to concerns raised, Perman said they were mindful of particular areas or teams where there were pressure points. She said the team was working hard under pressure, but so far it is manageable. According to the report presented to the Cabinet panel, Hertfordshire's public health grant for 2025/26 is around £58 million, more than 5% higher than last year. In addition, councillors heard that the council had been awarded additional ring-fenced grants for activities that included drug and alcohol services and smoking cessation services. Ms. Perman said that in recent years, the value of the public health grant in real terms had declined quite significantly, by around 25% from 2016 and 2024. She told councillors that she did not expect this year's increase to be repeated in subsequent years, suggesting that a 1% increase was being modelled in for future years.
This week in history. July 12, 1969, Tony Jacklin became the first British golfer since 1951 to win the British Open. July 13, 1973, the Everly brothers parted on stage in California when Phil smashed his guitar and stormed off, leaving Don to finish the gig. On this day last year, the Prince and Princess of Wales congratulated the super trooper Princess Royal as she returned to public duties after suffering concussion in a horse-related incident. July 14, 1967, Parliament voted to legalise abortion. On this day last year, the King urged England's football team to hold your heads high after their Euro 2024 final defeat to Spain, while the Prince of Wales said, "We're all still so proud of you." Spain claimed a 2-1 win while the Three Lions fell at the last hurdle for a second European Championship final in succession. July 15, 1965, close-up pictures of Mars were transmitted by TV from the Mariner satellite. July 16, 1953, Hilary Belloc, writer of many talents, died. He had written his own epitaph, which read, "When I am dead, I hope it may be said, his sins were scarlet, but his books were red." On this day last year, Jack Black cancelled the rest of his band Tenacious D's world tour after his bandmate made a controversial joke about the attempted assassination of Donald Trump.
Here are this week's obituaries from the Gazette. Jacqueline Irene Humphrey of Plantation Walk passed away peacefully at home on Saturday, the 21st of June, aged 79 years, loving mum, sister and nanny. Funeral service to take place at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium on 17th of July at 11:30 a.m. Family flowers only. Messages of condolence or donations may be given at J. Worley, Funeral Directors Limited, website www.jworley.co.uk. Elizabeth Maxwell, known as Liz of Berkhamsted, died at Watford General Hospital on Wednesday, the 18th of June, aged 84 years. Funeral service to take place at Our Lady, Queen of All Creation on 17th of July at 1:15 p.m. Family flowers only, donations to the Hospice of St. Francis. Messages of condolence or donations may be given at www.jworley.co.uk. May they rest in peace.
Climate Crisis Campaign. More than 180 residents in Harpenden and Berkhamsted have joined some 75,000 people across the UK to call on the Prime Minister to tackle the climate and nature crisis as MPs debate a landmark bill on the issue. Local campaigners posted an open letter to Keir Starmer, joining 649 other letters, one from every constituency across the UK, delivered to Downing Street. The campaign, led by the Zero Hour Environmental Group, calls on the Prime Minister to improve lives across the UK by taking robust action on the environment. It also calls on ministers to back the landmark cross-party Climate and Nature Bill, which was set to be debated again in Parliament on Friday. Copies of all 650 letters were hand-delivered to No. 10 Downing Street by a group of campaigners, including celebrity chef Hugh Fearnley, Whittingshaw, and Professor Dame E.J. Milner-Gulland, Tasso Leventis Professor of Biodiversity at Oxford University. It's thought that this is the first time that any Prime Minister has received a letter from all 650 constituencies across the UK on an environmental issue. Pauline Thomas, a local resident who signed the letter, says, "Taking action on the climate and nature crisis will deliver warmer, better insulated homes, cheaper bills, cleaner air and water, thriving nature, better public transport and proper food security. Who would argue against all of that? But the government is dragging its heels on this issue and the benefits are not filtering down to local people like us. The Climate and Nature Bill is the landmark legislation that would unlock all these benefits. The Prime Minister needs to give the bill time in Parliament for a proper debate." Across the UK, the bill is backed by more than 380 local councils, 1,200 leading scientists, including five Nobel laureates, and groups including the National Trust, the Cooperative Bank, Women's Institute, Friends of the Earth, and Triodos Bank. So far, over 190 MPs from across the main parties have thrown their weight behind it, making it the largest cross-party environmental movement in Westminster. The bill had its second reading in January, and the debate was due to be resumed on Friday. Energy Secretary Ed Miliband previously said he supports the spirit and substance of the bill, and Environmental Secretary Steve Reid said he was disappointed that the bill didn't proceed in January, because he wanted to see it succeed.
Motorist held after crash. A motorist has been arrested following a three-vehicle crash on Wednesday on the M1 south side of Hemel Hempstead that left a man with serious injuries and thousands of motorists stranded. Police said the driver, a man in his 50s, was arrested at the scene and taken into custody on suspicion of causing serious injury by careless driving. The force were called in just before 7 p.m. following reports of the smash between junctions 4 and 5 of the motorway. The road was closed southbound for several hours and the injured man taken to hospital. Frustrated motorists were stranded into the early hours of the morning, with one taking to social media to write, "There's thousands of people out of their cars and a number of people running across to the other side of the motorway to pee and catch lifts." Police eventually opened the southbound lanes just after 2 a.m. on Thursday. Police have asked for witnesses to get in touch online or by calling 101 and quoting ISR 663 of 9th July. I'll repeat that. Calling 101 and quoting ISR 663 of 9th July. They have also asked that dashcam footage be uploaded by visiting hearts.police.uk/dashcam upload, and dashcam upload is all one word.
PM backs Hemel Homes project. Prime Minister Keir Starmer has described an £11,000 home residential project centred on Hemel Hempstead as essential to the government's house building programme in a response to the town's MP. Starmer was responding to a question from David Taylor about the Hemel Garden Communities project at last week's Prime Minister's questions. The project, a collaboration between Dacorum Borough Council, St Albans City and District Council and Hertfordshire County Council, is expected to bring 10,000 new jobs to the area by 2050. A plan was recently revealed for the 4,000 home East Hemel development, which forms part of the wider project, with a planning application due to follow this autumn. Hemel Hempstead is a new town that was built by a Labour government after the Second World War and provided decent housing to families like mine. Yet 80 years on, the number one issue in my casework is a shortage of new homes. In my constituency, we're looking at a Hemel Gardens community scheme that would provide 11,000 of them, Taylor said. He added, he welcomed the government's commitment to building 1.5 million homes across the country before the next general election. The Prime Minister agreed with Taylor that the Hemel Garden Communities project needs to be a mix of genuinely affordable houses to buy, council houses to rent, and be accompanied by the right health, education and road infrastructure. As it's projects like this that are essential to building the 1.5 million homes that we need, whilst at the same time creating vibrant and strong communities, the Prime Minister added.
Phone data aids crime crackdown. Mobile phone data is being used by Hertfordshire investigators to crack down on fraudsters and rogue traders, county councillors heard at a meeting on Tuesday. Fraud investigators used communication data in 2024-25 to identify social housing clients who had been subletting their properties and to build cases against rogue traders, leading to reimbursements for customers in excess of £100,000. Councillors heard on Tuesday, investigators can apply to access mobile phone data under the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act 2000, brackets RIPA, which they successfully did 66 times over the 12-month period. Under the legislation, investigators cannot access the content of calls made or messages sent. However, they can apply to access communications data on when and where a call is made, a message sent, or an internet connection accessed. According to a report presented to members of the Council's Public Health and Community Safety Cabinet panel, in one case, mobile phone data placed a tenant at a social housing address twice, but at a different address 407 times. When challenged, that tenant was reported to have admitted the offence and voluntarily terminated their tenancy. In a second case, the report says the heavy usage of a communications mast that was not the most local to the social housing property provided crucial evidence for action to be taken. Trading standards officers also used mobile phone data in the investigation of two alleged roofing fraud cases. In one, a vulnerable 80-year-old woman contracted a trader to pave a pathway. The work, says the report, expanded to include a driveway, work on a shed, and an installation of railings for £25,000, which the customer had said she had not agreed to and could not afford. After unsuccessful attempts to meet the trader, trading standards officers used mobile phone data to trace him. The report says he had been using a false name. Councillors were also asked to continue to back policies in relation to directing surveillance and covert human intelligence sources under REAPER. According to the report, this was authorised twice in 2024-25. Both of these applications, according to the report, related to trading standards investigations into the alleged underage sales of vapes, knives and alcohol.
Pretend policeman fined. A man from Hemel Hempstead has admitted to pretending to be a police officer to an inebriated woman he ordered to leave a pub. Hatfield Magistrates Court this week fined Mark Wildman, age 46, of Maylands Avenue, after he admitted to two counts of impersonating an officer and two of fraud. Hertfordshire Constabulary said the incident took place last Friday. Wildman was in the pub when he approached the woman, whom police described as intoxicated. He pulled out a fake police warrant card and told her she must leave the pub. Once she was outside, other drinkers and pub staff questioned Wildman's actions. Hertfordshire Constabulary said he once again showed the fake card before running off. Sergeant Chris Spignall from the Decorum Community Safety Unit said, "We know this incident is alarming, and thankfully incidents like this are unusual. It is encouraging that so many bystanders intervened."
Mixed budget picture for schools. The very different financial fortunes of schools across the county have been highlighted at a meeting of the Hertfordshire Schools Forum. At least 23 schools, most of which are primary schools, ended the 2024/25 financial year in deficit. But there are others that have recorded significant surpluses totalling many millions of pounds. And at least one secondary school in the county ended the year with more than £1 million in the bank. A report presented to the forum shows that at the end of March, 322 of the county's 345 maintained schools had financial surpluses, totalling £80.7 million. And it points to a similar financial picture amongst the county's 176 academies. Academy data collated in August 2024 shows that 12 Hertfordshire academies were in deficit, with those deficits totalling £1.84 million. But 164 academies, including primaries, secondaries, all through special schools and alternative provision, were in surplus. And the surpluses being held by those academies totalled more than £90.3 million. According to the report, school balances have been at a significant level for some years, locally and nationally. And in November, the forum agreed to reintroduce a balance control to challenge excessively high balances with the potential to reclaim. Schools are to face challenges wherever they have had reserves in excess of 15% of their school budget for three consecutive years, and where that exceeds a set amount. Those amounts are £400,000 for a primary school and £800,000 for a secondary school. It is £300,000 for a nursery, £600,000 for a special school, and £500,000 for an education support centre. According to the report, 148 schools have had reserves for the past 3 years that exceed 15% of their annual budget. And in 41 cases, including 29 primaries and 4 secondaries, the level of reserves has exceeded the financial threshold set. Council officials will now write to those schools to understand their longer-term commitments and utilisation of the funding. but at the meeting it was acknowledged that there could be good reasons for the schools to be holding the money. And it was reported that many schools will be expecting to utilise reserves in order to be able to set a balanced budget in future years. Presenting the report, County Council Finance Officer for Children's Services, Ed Challoner, said that having conversations with these schools was good governance. And he suggested that in 99% of cases, schools would have plans associated with the reserves. Budget submissions for 2025-26, included in the report, suggest the amount of reserves held by maintained schools is expected to decrease to £45.2 million by the end of the financial year.
Fewer decorum births. Slightly fewer live births were recorded in decorum last year, figures show, while the number across England rose for the first time since 2021. Office for National Statistics figures show live births in England rose 0.7% to 567,708. In decorum, they fell 0.8% to 1,671. Despite the national increase, births remain at historically low levels, with 2024 ranking as the third lowest total since 1977. Greg Seeley, ONS Head of Population Health Monitoring, said, despite this overall rise, the number of births to mothers under 30 fell. The largest decrease is seen amongst those under 20 years old, which fell by almost 5%, while the number of mothers aged 35 to 39 grew the most. A couple of other long-term trends are continuing, such as seeing around half of live births within marriage or civil partnership, and an increase in births to non-UK-born mothers. In decorum, 910, 54.5% of births were registered within marriage or civil partnership. The ONS figures come after Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson this month called for Britons to have more children sooner, warning of the worrying repercussions of declining fertility rates. She told the Daily Telegraph, "A generation of young people have been thinking twice about starting a family, worried not only about rising mortgage and rent repayments, wary not only of the price of fuel and food, but also put off by a childcare system simultaneously lacking in places and ruinously expensive." Across England and Wales, 39.5% of live births had either one or both parents born outside the UK, up from 32.5% a decade earlier. In decorum, 585 or 35% of births had either one or both parents born outside the UK.
Vaping risks highlighted. Concerns have been raised about the increasing use of vapes as part of a public health drive to help Hertfordshire residents stop smoking, with one councillor asking if the County Council could be held liable for the harm they cause. Smoking remains the leading cause of preventable illness and premature deaths across Hertfordshire, with around 1,500 smoking-related deaths a year, according to official data. This year, 2025-26, the county's public health team has allocated £1.27 million from the local authority Stop Smoking Services and Support Grant in a bid to reduce the 9.7% of Hertfordshire residents who smoke. On Tuesday, a meeting of the County Councillor's Public Health and Community Safety Cabinet panel was briefed on the range of advice and support available for those looking to quit. Smokers can be offered the option to access 24/7 smoke-free apps and cognitive behaviour therapy. The county's approach also supports the Natural Swap to Stop campaign, where smokers can opt to use vapes to help them quit. The report said more than 1,200 vape kits were handed out in Hertfordshire in 2024-25, and the ambition is that 5,850 Hertfordshire smokers will set a quit date this year. Nevertheless, at the meeting, councillors repeatedly raised concerns about the potential harm caused by vaping and the message the approach could give. Councillor Peter Coley, Reform, Stevenage Bedwell, pointed to the damage vapes could do to the lungs and to a condition that he suggested could be as irreversible as bad tobacco. Are we going to be liable as an organisation, as a county later on, for claims that we've been giving people cauliflower lungs, he asked. Liberal Democrat Councillor John Hale, Colney Heath and Marshalswick also acknowledged the very difficult position where offering vapes as a means to stop smoking could be seen to be giving out the message that vaping is safe. In response to concerns, Louise Savory, the Councillors Associate Director for Health, Places and Communities, said vapes were less risky than cigarettes. She said the toxic chemicals in cigarettes were not in vapes, and she pointed to evidence suggesting that smokers who use vapes as a smoking cessation tool combined with MRT, nicotine replacement therapies, were three times more likely to quit. It is important to note, however, that although we are promoting use of vaping as a stop smoking aid, what we're not doing is encouraging the use of it by our young people, she said. It's a bit of a balancing act. We don't want our young people to be taking it up. Following the debate, Director of Public Health Sarah Perman committed to bringing a further report to the Cabinet panel that would look at the work of trading standards in combating the illegal sale of vapes and cigarettes, particularly to children, and suggested it would also provide further information around the harms and benefits of vaping.
And now, what's on? The Denby Theatre Tring, 20th of July, Marcus Brigstock, Vitruvian Mango, comedy. What are men for? Most heavy things can be lifted by machines, and most problems can be solved by computers. And most puddles can be crossed without us gallantly draping our capes over them. So are we fellas of any use at all? 7:30, tickets £20, age guidance 14 plus. Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, 14th of July. Ordinary Decent Criminal Theatre. Join legendary political comedian Mark Thomas and writer Ed Edwards as they test drive a few ideas for their new play, Ordinary Decent Criminal, touring later this year. It follows recovering addict Frankie, played by Mark, in the years following the Strangeways prison riot of 1991. 8 p.m, tickets £15, age guidance 16 plus. 18th of July, Dan Tiernan, Work in Progress. A show from the 2023 Edinburgh Comedy Award Best Newcomer nominee in 2022. Dan also won the BBC New Comedian of the Year and British Comedian of the Year. 8 p.m, tickets £14, age guidance 16 plus.
Films at Hemel Hempstead Cineworld this week include Superman, Action, Certificate 12A. Jurassic World Rebirth, Action 12A. F1 the Movie, Action 12A. 20 Years Later, Horror 15. How to Train Your Dragon 2025 version, Action PG. Elio, Action Animation PG. Lilo and Stitch 2025, Comedy U. I Know What You Did Last Summer, 2025, Horror 15.
Films at the Rex, Berkhamsted this week include The Salt Path, drama, Certificate 12A, 28 Years Later, horror, 15, The Marching Band, drama, 15, F1 The Movie, action, 12A, Jurassic World Rebirth, action, 12A, Lilo and Stitch, 2025, a comedy, You. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And now some sports news. Barnet Battle. Lee Allison was pleased with what he saw from his Hemel Hempstead Town side as they opened pre-season with a 2-2 draw at home to Barnet, as the team shared the Spencer McCall Invitational Trophy on Saturday. Darian Dowrich grabbed the opener early on for Hemel before Barnet turned things around before the break, thanks to strikes from Anthony Hartigan and Rhys Brown. But Miller Matthews' late curler brought the scores level to leave Allison upbeat as he spoke to the club's media after the game. He said, "A massive thank you to Dean Brennan, who brought two very strong sides here today. He's a fantastic manager who sees growth from starting here to where he is now as Football League manager, and credit to him and his team. I thought it was a brilliant exercise considering we haven't worked on any shape crossing, finishing, etc. I thought there were some really good signs there. In the first half, we were really solid in our shape, and whilst we got things to work on, I see some really good signs. There was much more pace, power and rawness in the second half, and when the game got open, we were very dangerous, which was pleasing to see. I thought that all the boys that have come into the football club showed real glimpses of quality today, and we're going to have a serious headache in terms of selection when you think Jermaine Anderson was just managing his workload, Jake Gray was away, Charles Rowan pulled a calf in the warm-up, and Trey Cook is a little bit away as well. But it's so early on in pre-season, and nothing is won or lost. It's minutes in the bank, looking at structures, looking at performances, and on the whole, I think it was a really positive afternoon. Hemel hosts St Ives Town on Saturday before travelling to St Neot's Town on Tuesday night.
Dunstable Downer. Hemel Hempstead Cricket Club lost out to Dunstable in the Championship at the end of the first round of fixtures, being unable to take their last wickets. Dunstable skipper Sam Cherry made 94 off of 89 balls, and Harry McBrearty made 29 from 19 balls to make an undefeated partnership of 63 for the eighth wicket to win the game for Dunstable. Hemel batted first and made 237 for 9 from their 60 overs, with opener Brett Penny making 53 and number 6 Ed Pike making 52. Hemel went at Dunstable and got early wickets, taking them down to 142 for 5 at the start of the last hour. Parth Mehta was, as ever, the main man, returning 3 for 79 from 18 overs, but the partnership of 63 in 6 overs at the end proved to be too much, and Dunstable got the win. Halfway point in the league season, and Hemel are seventh, Dunstable sixth. The second 11 versus Welwyn Garden City, second 11, Division 3A. Hemel snatched a win in a tight-fought game. Hemel batted first and were bowled out for 163 with only opener Luturo Corrigan, 17, and number 3 Aaron Wilson, 94, making it to double figures. The onset of a bit of rain meant WGC, that's Welwyn Garden City, had a revised target of 150 from 35 overs, but Ed Langley opened the Hemel Bowling and whipped out the first four WGC batters with the score only 38. The lower batsman responded, but Brad Finch, 2 for 38, took them out, and the returning Ed Langley picked up another wicket to finish with 5 for 32. And Lucas Burton took out the last batsman to finish with 2 for 24. WGC bowled out for 139 in 31 overs to give Hemel the win. Hemel Hempstead seconds, as were the firsts, are in seventh place in division. WGC in sixth place.
War Hero Tribute. Hemel MP David Taylor has paid tribute in the House of Commons to an RAF veteran from Hemel Hempstead who died recently, aged 100. Speaking in Parliament, Mr. Taylor said, "I begin by paying tribute to Mr. Roy Briggs, a proud RAF veteran from Hemel Hempstead who served with great courage during the Second World War, including on Operation Manna, which was a humanitarian food drop programme to relieve famine in 1944-45 in Nazi-occupied Netherlands. Mr. Briggs sadly passed away at the age of 100, shortly after attending the VE Day commemorations in our town, a funeral I was honoured to attend. I'm grateful to the Minister for Veterans for writing to Mr. Briggs' family, and I know it meant a great deal to them." Mr. Taylor also highlighted the importance of ongoing government support for the Royal British Legion and other veterans' organisations to ensure that commemorations and services honouring veterans continue to take place across the UK. The MP added, "Heroes like Mr. Briggs deserve our eternal gratitude, and it's vital that we continue to support veterans' organisations so future generations remember their sacrifice."
Old letters found in canal. Dozens of handwritten letters addressed to a household in Hemel Hempstead have been discovered after 60 years. The BBC has revealed that letters sent to a property in Hemel Hempstead were found in a canal in Birmingham. A woman who was magnet fishing at the canal found the letters and launched a social media appeal to get them to the household they were sent to. The letters are dated as being written on March 1st, 1962, sent from Nottingham. 32 letters, packed together, were taken out of the canal in Birmingham by the Fort Shopping Park. The BBC said the letters were addressed to a Janet Millington at Glenview Road in Hemel Hempstead. It was also reported that the sender, who signs the letters Arch, gave his address as Rupert Street in the Meadows area of Nottingham. That part of the city has been converted into an industrial estate. Shirley Elmore, 52, recovered the letters and launched a social media appeal to help return them to either the sender or intended recipient. She told the BBC that lots of people have commented on her posts, but none had links to the sender or recipient. According to the BBC, the sender writes about how much he is missing the Hemel Hempstead resident. In one, he wrote how he had phoned her and got no answer, but try again the next day, the BBC said.
Movie, gunfire warning. Film giant Warner Brothers have warned residents living near Leavesden Studios that they may hear loud special effects, including gunfire and bangs, for 20 days. The company regularly alerts those living nearby if they're likely to hear particularly loud effects, such as explosions or sounds at night as part of its productions. Letters typically include a short date range and a description of what may be heard, with contact details for anyone seeking further information. The most recent letter sent in early July mentions 20 days and 7 later periods. These dates will involve high-level film lighting, controlled SFX, brackets special effects, atmospheric smoke, flame effects, wind machines, bangs, gunfire, rain machines and general production filming noise, it said. Three Rivers District Council and all relevant authorities have been notified. Location A, to the west of the train tracks, will see one day of lates with FSX on July 26, as well as on September the 23rd and 24th. Location B, on the other side of the tracks, nearer the main studios, is set for 20 days of SFX, periodically up to September the 1st.
Rare Hulk toy under hammer. A figure of the Marvel character the Hulk, said to be one of the rarest stretch toys in existence, is expected to net its owner up to £5,000 when it goes under the hammer in King's Langley. Excalibur Auctions said the green figure in pink trousers is one of only 30 known examples of the original Hulk stretch figure from 1979 known to still exist. It was produced by renowned toy maker Dennis Fisher, 1918 to 2002, and comes directly from its original owner, who begged his mother for one as a child. She knew someone who worked for Dennis Fisher and was able to get one of the first ones off the production line. The toy will go to auction later this month and is expected to sell for up to £5,000, Excalibur said. It comes with its original packaging, which bears a handwritten number one on the flap of the box, and it is described as being in mint condition, having been kept out of the light and upright over the years.
And finally, Magic Roundabout number two. The UK's most innovative, inclusive, futuristic, and potentially confusing roundabout has officially opened in Hemel Hempstead, with a somewhat less than original name. Hemel is already famous for its magic roundabout. It's in the town centre, and now it has another addition to the unusual traffic circle, Family on Boundary Way. The Dutch-style roundabout, dubbed simply Dutch Roundabout, features separate crossing points for both cyclists and pedestrians, the former giving way to the latter and both having precedence over cars and lorries. Harts County Council says it offers safer and more accessible journeys, but the fact that officials have commissioned a CGI video to explain how to use it also suggests they expect some teething troubles. Councillors, project partners and local stakeholders attended the ribbon cutting launch, which included a speech from Council Leader Steve Jarvis, along with a guided walk and cycle ride through the area known as a Quiet Way, which separates those walking, wheeling and cycling from some of the busiest trunk roads in the town. The roundabout is the final installation in a series of improvements funded by Active Travel England in Hemel's Maylands area. Designed to promote active and sustainable travel, it connects both completed sections of the Bunsfield Lane Quiet Way, helping to link residential neighbourhoods, the Maylands Business Park, and wider travel routes being developed as part of Hemel Garden Communities. With up to 11,000 new homes and thousands of new jobs planned for the area by 2050, the roundabout is part of a long-term strategy to reduce car dependency, especially for shorter journeys. Councillor Steve Giles Medhurst, Executive Member for Highways, said, "We want walking, wheeling and cycling to be safe, convenient and attractive options for people making everyday journeys. The roundabout supports Hertfordshire County Council's wider aim to deliver a more accessible, future-ready transport network that works for everyone, helping to build healthier and better connected communities."
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 4:57 and 21:15. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper, skill," followed by Plaid Decorum Talking Newspaper. For those who are listening to this week's news on Memory Stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove your Memory Stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly, turn the label over and post it back to us at Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Mike, our technician for this week.